All right, everybody, welcome to another phantasmical episode about Without Playout Cast, the Survivor podcast. Man, it took me too long to get in. We're talking about Season 34, Game Changers, Episode 9, Reinventing How This Game Is Played. It's even a long title to say for an episode. We are a Night of the Living Geeks show. Go to notlg.com and check out other cool shows. Go to patreon.com/notlg and support the network. Rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. You can follow me at Jolly Andy on Twitter. And Nick, what about you? Where can people find you?
How you living?
That's not your real handle. Did you change it?
Of course not. Why would I ever change anything?
I don't know. Brian changed his. It was good.
I've used the same profile picture ever since I signed up.
I had my AIM. That's AOL Instant Messenger for you millennials out there. I had the same AIM handle
around
for 8 years.
Yeah, I'm sure I have the same ICQ number.
Ooh. Anyway, so
ICQ is still big in Germany.
There's a lot of stuff in this episode to get to, but one thing I want to bring up, because I think it's something people might be controversial. Is it dangerous to say that Andrea might quietly be one of the best players of all time in Survivor?
Nah. Well, okay, she's good. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a hater or anything, but one of the best? Nah. She's doing real well right now.
People talk about Ozzy being one of the best, but...
Well, they shouldn't.
Yeah. Let me build the case, and then we can take it apart, alright? So
it's like there's a phrase, you can put motor oil on a hot dog, that doesn't mean you should.
This is her third season playing. All three times she has made the merge. Right? And this being her third time, she has won at least one challenge every episode since the merge. The first one, she won immunity, then she won reward, and this one she won reward and immunity. And granted, she's not winning the rewards all on her own, but she's been on the winning team or won individual immunity every episode since the merge. She's also, aside from having made the merge all three of her seasons, she's won an individual immunity at least once every season. Which is a difficult feat to do. And with one more immunity win, she'd be the first woman ever to reach 5 immunity wins overall. And by the way, she's the only female player to win an individual immunity across 3 different seasons. So she's won a shitload of these. She's maybe won more, and she will have won more than any woman in the game, period. And combined, like, tomorrow, the day after this tribal, is her 100th day on Survivor, which is a milestone number. All of that combined with how she's been playing this game, she's definitely the biggest threat right now in this season. I think I can safely say that. But her resume is... Like, people don't think of Andrea when they think of great players, but her resume is way up there when you think about great players in this game. And I think because she's not flashy, and the challenges that she wins aren't the flashy ones. Like, Ozzy wins flashy challenges. Andrea wins the, like, domino thing where you step through the, like, it's a classic challenge, but it's not one of the flashy ones. It's not like be up on the totem pole for 3 hours.
Right, it's not super impressive, and it's like I'm saying, well, you seem to make the same case, is that she's not flashy, so she's not like, name the 10 survivors and she's not going to be on the list that you name most likely. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, even this season, she's not even the most impressive one this season.
But, I mean, that could also be a case in her favor, right? Because flashy players don't tend to win. Right? You think of flashy people, you think of guys like Russell. He's never going
to
win
this game.
Or Sandra.
Who's won twice.
But, like, it's a very different kind of player. I think Andrea's the female mold of Ozzy in a kind of way. Different personality, but really good at challenges, plays a quiet game. Well, I guess Ozzy has the whole provider thing going on. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, like
I feel like she has a skill set that lines up to make her a really good player.
Yeah, she's a good player, but as I'm saying, she's not... I mean, she made a really good move this time around by deciding to get Zeke out before he got her. But, like, that's... If she does something like that another time or two, then yeah, all right, I'll hear you out. But right now... Mm-mm. Like, there have been better players on seasons before, you know what I mean? Obviously, that's a dumb thing for me to have said. But But there have been better players. And so I don't feel like saying that she's one of the best to ever play the game. She is very good, though. Also, when you've been playing, this is her third game around, right? I mean, mm-hmm. when you have that much time on the islands, you know, there's just that much exposure, then, yeah, you're going to think she's the best. I don't know, though. I wouldn't say it just yet. But okay. As I said, I do really like her. She is, she's not super interesting to watch, except for this episode, because she actually started to do some real good stuff, and then she won a fun challenge to watch. But overall, like, she's vanilla, which is not an insult, because screw you, vanilla is delicious. Everyone uses it as an insult. Yeah, it's really good. But that's the thing, is it's kind of base, you know what I mean?
So let's go down this list. There's the, I found on some random website that looks like it's really well researched, of the top 50 Survivor players of all time. Just somebody ranked them. And at number one, they have Rob Mariano. We can agree that's probably better than Andrea, right?
Oh, yeah.
Parvati Shallow, yes, definitely. Parvati's amazing.
I don't like Parvati. I've made that clear in the past. But, yeah, I'd still say that she's better than Andrea.
Yeah. Kim Spradlin. Okay, I'll give that one, too. Oh, what else
Wait,
we got
what,
here?
Who? James?
Hmm?
James?
Kim Spradlin. She was on the other
Kim.
Season that had Troy Zan in them. Kim and,
Oh,
God, what season was that?
Oh, it was his only other season,
yeah,
right? He's only
yeah.
been in the one. I don't
Jay
remember
and Troy Zan and... I don't remember the season, but I'll give him that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Sandra's in for them at number four, then Suri, then Todd Herzog. Okay.
Oh, I liked Todd. You know, okay, here's what I'll say about Andrea, because this is the first time I've seen her, so I'm not actually qualified to talk about it now that I think, because I haven't seen her first two seasons. So maybe she did all kinds of crazy-ass kung fu stuff in the first two times around, but since I haven't seen her, I'm not, now that I think about it, I'm not that qualified. But just going off of this season, I wouldn't say that she's one of the best.
Well, okay, here.
Let me find.
Okay. So at number 10, they have JT, who I think with his return in this game knocks him down a couple pegs at least.
Yeah, for sure.
He was a really good player for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. His first season was really good.
Andrew's, to my point, Andrew's not even on this list.
Yeah.
Which, and you actually, which just, at this, just, I mean, this is an outdated list. I'll give you that. But to not even be in the top 50, given her resume, is a crying shame.
Yeah, and I take it that was done after, at least after her second season, right?
Yes, it appears like it is, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they have JT
so,
doing
I mean,
it twice and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And JT, just to get back to him for one second, because like, even his second season, he was doing fine until he made a huge mistake, and that huge mistake was predicated on the fact that nobody knew who Russell was.
Mm-hmm. That's
like,
true.
Like, I don't really blame him for screwing up that badly. Now, was it good TV that he screwed up that badly? Oh, God,
oh,
yes,
it was. Gloriously cringeworthy to watch.
It was so... He wrote a love letter. It was so funny. But, yeah. So, I don't know. But he's definitely going to be knocked down 10. Just out of curiosity, is anyone else from this season on that list?
Yeah, quite a few people, actually. Let me go down this list here. Next coming in... Next coming in, 24, Malcolm Freeburg. Aubrey is at 28.
See?
Which, Aubrey, I'm with you on the Aubrey is a good player train, but I will put Andrea over Aubrey right now.
Oh, right now for sure. But
right now,
let's
yeah.
see how it plays.
We'll see what goes. So. Adam Klein is at 35, Fishback's 36. I'm also looking at people who played recently. Ozzy's on here at 39. Come on.
That sounds about right.
Ozzy does good in this game, but not in a way that will ever let him win. Andrea is good
right.
in this game in a way that will get her to win. And I think at that point, like, you gotta be. Like, that's definitely better, right?
Yeah.
David's on
She's
here.
She's definitely
David
better than Ozzy. I'll give
you
that.
Sydney. Oh, Sydney from Kowrong is on here at 45. Put Sydney at one. Anyway, I after this episode, not so much her moves, but also this episode is when I noticed that I'm doing the points, and it seems like every fuck damn episode, Andrea gets Brian more and more points. And
he made a good pick with her.
Yeah, and it's paying off dividends, because I think she's quietly really, really fucking good at this game. So I wanted to bring that up, and we can talk about her move and getting out Zeke in this as well. And Zeke, I think, had myriad downfalls, not just Andrea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's... His biggest problem, as we said a couple of episodes ago when Jeff Varner outed him, is that he's a good story. And he's a good player. Like, he... A lot of people, when they have a setback like he did, right, where he thought he was in charge and then he got blindsided and one of his allies got voted out, a lot of people would take that opportunity and go on the warpath, which will get them voted out very, very quickly. He had a real good chance at running the table if he had gotten lucky. Unfortunately, Andrea realized that he was gunning for her and nipped it in the bud. He got to her. Wait, nope. She got to him before he got to her.
Yeah. And I think that's Zeke's biggest downfall is, I mean, he has the good story and he has a good social game. He's very likable. From what I can tell in both of his seasons, everybody likes Zeke. I think Zeke just made the same mistake twice. I think Zeke is out there and he's really smart and he knows how to play this game. And I think his biggest problem is that he's such a big fan and he wants to play the game. And I think he wants to make moves before he has to. Like I understand, like, he identified Andrea as a threat, but when he first did it two episodes ago, it wasn't necessary. And I mean, you could argue that, but, like, I think he kind of picks fights out of nowhere sometimes. And if he could just chill a little bit longer, he'd be okay. Like, if he could have just chilled on Andrea two more episodes.
Right. But now I get to say my piece, right?
Yeah.
No, so... We saw it mentioned in this episode, and we've seen it play out in previous episodes. I'm going to look, in fact, as I say this. Hold on a second. I'm going to open up Safari. I'll edit this out. I want to see if Aubrey and Ivor. It's hard for me to type and talk at the same time. Again, here we are. I'm going to see how often they vote together. And then we'll just redo this whole bit once I find out where it is.
Oh, how often Aubrey and Zeke vote together?
Yeah, because I have a feeling, because they mentioned it in this one. So there is Aubrey. And there is... Oh, God, thank you. They're even on the same page. Or, like right underneath one another. Okay. So how did I get into this? Oh, okay. But we saw in this episode, and it had been hinted at previously, that Aubrey and Andrea are tight. They are together. They started off on the same tribe. No, they didn't. That's a lie. I don't know how to read this thing. This table that I'm looking at is really complicated. So
are you on the Survivor Wikia?
No, I'm on Wikipedia. Well, I'm on the regular old Wikipedia. It has folks listed by how they're doing now. But regardless, point being that the last three votes, they've gone together. They voted Zeke, then Debbie, and then Zeke again this week. So Zeke noticed and seems to realize that they are, I wouldn't necessarily say in cahoots, but they are tight. And so two episodes ago when he made his move on her, let me double check and make sure. Yep, that's when it happened. No, two episodes ago, he made his move on Aubrey. And when did he vote? What the hell is Andrew talking about? He has never voted for her.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, what happened was, it was the first episode after the merge, the only person to vote for Zeke was Michaela. Because she was out of the loop, because they were trying to get Michaela out, so Michaela was told to go Zeke, and it ended up being Haley after all.
Yes.
And then the episode after that is when Ozzy leaves, but that's also when Zeke decided he wanted to get Andrea out, and that backfired completely, because they didn't want to get Andrea out. His allies wanted to get Ozzy out, and the people that he had then alienated was Andrea, Aubrey... who else was that? Michaela and Ozzy all voted Zeke. Those four voted for Zeke.
I see it now, because I remember Jeff being voted out was his high watermark in terms of everyone in the tribe loving him. And then it was the next week when... Or I'm sorry, it was the next week when he voted Michaela. And then that's what started the... I wouldn't say... Feud is a very a very fair way to describe it. Respectful feud, rivalry. Let's call it a rivalry. Because Andrea, even though she recognizes him as a threat and got him voted out, he seems cool with her. Right, yeah. And she seems cool with him outside of the game. So, yeah, they had a friendly rivalry with one another. And, yeah, okay, I see it now. And then this caused a whole chain reaction of folks voting for Andrea. Interesting. I don't remember what my original point was any longer. Oh no, I remember now. my point was that Zeke noticed that they were together, and he's been gunning after them. So I don't think he made his move too early. It's just that he made his move early, and it didn't work out because everyone else decided to gun down Haley in cold blood.
Yeah, but I mean, at the point when he poked the fight with Andrea, they were allies. And I think that's the thing. Like, even wait one more week, because there's a clear path, right? They had a clear path of getting out a certain set of people and what they needed to do. And by immediately causing that friction, that's what helped last episode or two episodes of the Alliance of Six. That's what brought them to prominence, was that Zeke drove a wedge into his alliance by trying to get out Andrea. And it just, it wasn't necessary at the time, and the repercussions are now being felt two episodes later when his own ass gets voted out. Because the wedge he drove, the people he pushed away, are now tighter than they would have been otherwise.
Which is unfortunate because he and Andrea were getting along real well at the start of this episode.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was another piece of poor editing, or a scene that got cut out or something. Yeah, because unfortunately, like, I mean, Andrea was right. He said in his exit interview, you know, on camera, it's like, you know, she got me and I was going to go for her next, and that sort of thing. But we never saw him say that before being voted out. So it almost seems like maybe she has a sixth sense. That's entirely possible. Or there was a scene where something raised her suspicions and we didn't see it.
Yeah, we can talk about the editing that's been going on.
Let's do it now.
Editing. I don't want to harp I don't think it's the fault of the editors and the producers at this point. I think the show has been generally kind of bland and cut and dry from the merge up until now. And even this episode, you could see the writing on the wall and it was pretty obvious. And I'm not saying I need like big surprises and cliffhangers and all this kind of crazy ass shit. But this is kind of feeling like, for an NFL analogy, it's feeling like a Browns-Texans game the last couple weeks. And now, like, this is a good, you know, J.J. Watt defensive play or something. And it feels like this has been so much calmer since Sandra left. I don't know that Sandra's such good TV, but Sandra galvanizes this game and gets people off their footing. Which I think is what's not. Like, nobody left is that kind of player. Nobody here is gonna aim to put a whole group of people off their footing the way she did.
It's interesting because, like, take a look at the immunity challenge. We'll keep on talking about editing, obviously, but we'll talk about the immunity challenge itself a little bit later. But, like, even that, there didn't really feel like there were any stakes. It looked obvious that Andrea was going to win from the start. She had that much of a lead. And then she stacked her bricks a little bit too close, but she didn't even fail. Like they were so close together that she realized before it was too late. You know what I mean? And she was able to just space them out and then knock it down, and everyone was light years behind her. They tried to edit it so that it looked a little bit more dramatic, like, can Michaela pull ahead? Oh, it's between Michaela, Sarah, and Andrea. Why do I always forget her goddamn name?
She's a great player, just forget about her. Sorry.
She's that under the radar. But there was no real drama to it, because you knew, okay, cool, she's going to win. Like, they didn't even bother, aside from when, was it Troy's aunt? No, it was Brad. Brad knocked his over. That was the only real moment of drama in that challenge. And they tried to edit it so that it looked dramatic, but she was just so far ahead that it wasn't even close. But then, like, once we get to tribal, I kind of see what they're going for. they didn't want you to expect Zeke getting voted out at all. And it might have worked. The only real issue is... it might have worked, but I also see the other thing they were going for. God damn it. How do I say this? I should just read it as I had it. I kind of see what they're going for with Tribal, though. They wanted Zeke to... They wanted it to be a swerve, like, it comes out of nowhere. Like they don't show you anyone voting for him in the voting booth. They show you him voting for Sierra and somebody voting for Ty. I can't remember who the vote was for, but it doesn't matter. They wanted to show you, like, ooh, these are the two people who are going home. And then the five votes in a row that he gets, they wanted that to be the surprise. The problem is, like we saw a couple seasons ago, where did Ty's name come from?
Yeah.
Like, how did they settle on that? And I understand that the big gang of four of Michaela, Ceri, Sarah, and Andrea didn't trust anyone else out there. And they pulled in the one person that they did trust, who was Aubrey. And so, yeah, so they had their five and they were tight and good because they realized the other two were going to be split. So I get them not talking to anyone else, but I would, for example, be really interested in seeing why Troy's Aunt Sierra and Brad decided to turn on their ally of Ty. And we don't get that at all. How did they come up with that name? Who knows?
Yeah.
Oh, Sierra. Sierra's vote is the one that we saw because she said
yeah.
that she hoped it was him and not her, which is completely reasonable. I get that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing.
Sorry, you go. It's something that could be fixed with one short confessional. And I don't know how it played out. Maybe somebody told the free agents to vote for Ty just to kind of get them off a trail. It could have been just that. I don't know how complex the situation was, but I'm certain you can give me a whiff or a hint of the fact that Ty might get votes. Because then Ty in Tribal says that he feels like he's in trouble, and I have no context for that. There's nothing I've seen this entire episode that makes me think...
Yeah.
Everything I'm seeing makes me think Ty is crazy. And Ty... Ty, wonderful Ty. I know when he says he thinks he's in trouble, he genuinely believes it. He's not doing the tribal council. Well, you know, anytime you're tribal and you don't have the necklace, you know, you feel a little scared. Like, everybody says that. That's not Ty, though. Ty yeah. genuinely
and
feels
how scared,
afraid.
And how scared did he feel? Because he has two idols and he didn't play either of them. So, I don't know.
He had mentioned that if he feels a little afraid, he's going to play them. So I was like, okay, yeah. Does this mean he plays his now? Because he then talks... I mean, but there was so little context around Ty's vote that it's frustrating when it... A 2-minute confessional fixes it. Not even a 30-second confessional.
Yeah. Now, all of that said, I actually still think this was a pretty good episode, and I'll tell you why. Because... It's not really about Zeke. Like, we have this preconceived notion that each episode should be about the person who gets voted off. But it's like, Zeke has had a lot of, I don't want to say character development, I know he's a real human being, but he's had
no,
a lot...
Editing does turn them into characters. It's fine to say character development.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, yeah. But, like, we've seen him grow and change and do a lot of stuff, and we get that. So he's had his spotlight. What this episode was about was Sarah's conflict about taking out Zeke, her friend, and this guy that she's trusted for however long they've been together. And so we saw a little bit of that when she is being approached very... what's a good word for it? She's being approached very casually and non-confrontationally by Ceri and Andrea,
mm-hmm.
saying, how would you feel about getting him out? And she doesn't want to. So she has that conflict. It's also... This episode is also about Andrea starting to take a more active role. Like, she's always been there and she's been doing stuff, so she's not she hasn't been all lump of flesh just running around doing whatever. She's done some really good stuff so far, but this is her being more overt about it. Like, she, instead of, like, in previous episodes you see her just say, maybe, you know, hey, how about this person, or who are we going for, okay, I agree with that, you know, that sort of thing. But in this one, she is the one saying, let's get rid of Zeke. Let's work together, and I can pull these people in, and this is going to be the five that we have. We also saw Sarah playing both sides of the fence, which I really enjoyed, because she made two separate final five agreements.
Mm-hmm.
That takes guts. Good for her. And everybody believes her, too. Nobody's saying, like, oh, I don't trust her when she says she wants to take me to the Final Five. So she's doing a good job of that. Like, honestly, okay, you're saying Andrea might be one of the best players. Now, of the two of them, I still haven't seen either of their previous seasons, but I'm still willing to say that I think Sarah is a better player than Andrea.
Sarah's done an excellent job after the merge of herself in a position to be the swing vote, and she's done it intentionally.
Yeah.
A lot of times people end up as a swing vote and go, oh, shucks, how did this happen? Little old me, right? But Officer Sarah moves herself into that position. And now she's doing it confidently because she knows if she's the swing vote and she gets a whiff that her swing vote's not enough, she can steal another one. So she's in a position not only to move herself into the slot as the swing vote, which gives her power, but she's empowered to be there too. So she can do it confidently, which makes it that much more dangerous. Like, the fact that she has that advantage, it's fine if she never uses it. I feel like at this point, she's using it in a way that
she has that.
Yeah, she's making her game stronger by being able to rely on it. It's the opposite of the Super Tribal from a couple seasons ago. We're like, oh, we got the Super Tribal. Fuck it, we don't have to play the game.
You know what's really, really interesting to me is that Sarah is playing the game that Debbie wanted to play. Like, Debbie wanted to be the man in the middle who chooses which faction goes forward. And who the fuck are we talking about? And Andrea actually is doing that. She's executing.
Yeah. You mean Sarah?
Oop. Sarah. Yeah. Hate my life. I hate my life. Yeah. Regardless. But yeah, you get what we're saying.
Yeah.
You guys, you listeners, you know I, for some reason, have a blind spot. I cannot tell the two of them apart, even though they are vastly different in appearances and personalities.
Yeah, but all those white women look the same to you, huh? No, I do.
Yeah.
I feel like Officer Sarah is playing a good game, but my argument for Andrea is across her three seasons as a phenomenal, like, just as a, at this point, institutional player of this game. I feel like she's earned to be in the top 10 or top 20 discussion, at least, given what she's been able to put together. Now, that's the case we talked about earlier, but you're right. For post the merge, Officer Sarah is doing a real good job of playing that game, which is, it's interesting because I didn't see her being that. And some of the times when she gets a confessional, I'm like, how are you actually good right now? Like, what is it? A couple episodes where she was talking about, you know, the little details. Oh, when she got the advantage, she's like, people don't notice those details, but I did because I'm a cop. You know, who notices when someone, you know, most people don't notice when a car's registration is overdue. You know who does? I do. And I'm like,
you know what that reminds me of? My registration is overdue.
Right, but it's like, Officer Sarah, that's pretty easy.
Guess what I'm going to do when we log off.
It's pretty easy. It's a brightly colored sticker right there on the license plate. It's not that hard to notice if you're getting paid to do so.
How often do you pay attention and notice that somebody ahead of you, their registration is out of date?
I don't notice because I don't get paid to do it all day. Right? Like, if it was part of my job description, it's not that hard to notice. It's not that hard of a detail.
That's the thing is, I don't know. I think you're giving her a little bit of short shrift on that. Like, that is a thing. That is a skill to realize, here's a hidden advantage somewhere. There's always a hidden advantage here.
It was a funny moment, I thought. Anyway.
Definitely a funny
But moment. Speaking of, I
good
love
couple
the
of funny moments the last couple episodes.
I love the way that Ciri always calls her Officer Sarah and never Sarah. And now that she's on
That's
my fantasy team,
thing. I wonder.
I'm always going to call her Officer Sarah.
I wonder if that's Ciri really liking Officer Sarah or not really liking Officer Sarah.
That's
if it's a sarcastic officer
point,
or respectful.
That's interesting because you know that it's intentional. Ciri's not going to do that unintentionally.
Definitely.
There's a reason behind it. There has to be.
The other thing, I kind of wish people would do that a little more often because I didn't know Brad played football. And if you didn't know that Ciri was a nurse, like, why don't people call each other by their jobs a little more often? Gardener Ty, financial analyst Zeke, just little itty-bitty things.
What was he? Oh, yeah, you could call him Tackle Culpepper. Yeah, it was a defensive tackle. Yeah.
Oh.
DT Culpepper. Call him DT
out
there.
Football player. No.
Just a quiet reminder that he doesn't need the money, and also his wife doesn't. His wife won, so they really don't need the money.
Oh, she won.
Did she win? Oh, I don't remember.
I don't think so. I know she was. She was in.
She did hella good.
Was she in the last season? No, not last season. She was in Second Chances, right?
No, she has not won. Okay, my bad. Sorry.
Yeah, but she was in Second Chances.
God, making me bring it back up. One World and Blood versus Water.
Oh, interesting. No, okay, I thought she was in... That must have been a different Monica, then. Go figure, there's multiple people named Monica in the world. Anyway, I feel like these were some good challenges this episode. The first one being...
Do you? Puzzle challenge, I feel like that reward was ass.
No, that reward was really good. For a start, they had eggs.
Okay, the reward was good.
Yeah. Oh, wait, were you saying the reward itself was bad, or the reward challenge?
The reward challenge was ass. The reward was entertaining. Oh,
no. I love them, because they did this a couple of seasons ago. He said, Jeff, that is, said it was last season. I don't remember that. I think it was Cow Wrong, in which they had the super long one. It was that puzzle challenge where you had to pick out the bags of stuff in a certain order, and then you had to solve a word puzzle. And the last time they solved this word puzzle, it was with all the fixins, which was kind of hard because there was no G. It wasn't fixings. It was fixins, which is, really a thing that you're going to think of very often. This was the name of the episode, in fact. It was Reinventing How This Game Is Played. It's like, you motherfucker, whoever you are, the person who did this challenge, that's just mean.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, it's going to be like, when in the course of human events becomes self-evident, now is the winter of our discontent, it's going to made summer by this son of York. No, I mean, what kind of mean person puts an 11-letter word in there that's got a gerund and a prefix as well? What I loved in it, though, was Troyzan, getting Sierra's attention, Sierra, and then Secret going, is nutritional 11 letters? And then she just turns around like, stop wasting my time. That's not a word. Let alone 11 letters. Come on, dude.
It was frustrating to watch. Because, okay, let me tell you. After they laid out what the challenge was, I looked at the two tribes and Blue Tribe's going to win because Zeke's on it.
Yeah.
But that didn't... That's not necessarily a foregone conclusion, though.
No. Well, they had Zeke and Aubrey. Okay, I know she wasn't doing the puzzle, but you saw her. She was sitting there writing down in the sand, writing all the letters, and then trying to work them around.
Yeah, also a smart cookie.
Yeah. That's good brain power on that tribe. But, I don't know. I just thought it was really, really great when Jeff started to actually give them hints. He was talking about, this game has changed very much over time. It's changed all of you, and you've had to adapt. And then Zeke, it's almost like something right out of a regular old TV show, scripted, dramatic, hour-long drama, where they have that aha moment, and he realized, reinventing is a word, and then as soon as he fixated on that, everything just fell into place.
I was mostly annoyed because there's the whole physical portion that gets a lot of screen time, and Jeff, when he's calling the game. He's, convinced, Team Orange is so far behind, and they're doing so bad at the chairlift, and oh my god, this is terrible. When at the end of the day, they were, 30 to 45 seconds late getting to the puzzle, and the puzzle took almost an hour.
Yeah.
It's like... And then the puzzle, because the puzzle's not fun television, the puzzle took half the time to show. The puzzle resolution took half the time to show as the actual,
physical portion. It was largely solved through montage.
Yeah.
No, well, okay. Maybe, here's my conflict. Because that was a really difficult challenge, or a really difficult puzzle. So if they intended it to be really, really difficult, then you're right. It was done. It was kind of silly that it took that long compared to the physical part of it. But if you remember Cow Wrong, in which they had to solve that with all the fixings puzzle, that was supposed to take 5 minutes. and it was just because they had mental blocks and people were hungry and whatnot that it took an hour. So in that original run through, that 30, 40 seconds is pretty major. That's math is really hard, especially because it's base 60. That is 10% of the challenge.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
All right. Going higher. 10% of the expected time. That's a pretty good head start. And then it just unexpectedly took that much longer. Now, if they were trying to model that first time and they were hoping for 5 minutes in this one, then yes. That initial part could have been, that initial physical challenge could have really mattered. So I don't know. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think they would ever put in a completely pointless aspect of a challenge. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, it's not completely pointless, right? It's completely pointless kind of in terms of the outcome of the challenge. But if you just threw this puzzle at them and said, go do it, that's boring television. Like, they need something to fill the time and be exciting to watch. And the physical portion of this is exciting, like the chairlift going up and down and back and forth. Like, it's genuinely visually really interesting. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah. And, you know, what was really great to see finally, Michaela unleashed. Like, when she got to do that physical part right on.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, Brad is a little bit older and he's been out of the game for a while, but he's still in really good shape. And she torched him. She was taking that high step challenge. You know, we step through the squares. She was taking that two at a time and going at like regular speed. There was a woman on her team. I want to say it was whoever went second. Unfortunately, I don't remember, you know, who all it was. So I'm going to say Andrea, and she was going through it pretty fast. Also two at a time. But she was like lifting her legs up and then walking and then lifting again, like she just didn't want to trip and fall. Which somebody did. Somebody ate shit. And that made me laugh so hard because I'm a dumb. So it's just really impressive to see her finally get to do stuff. And the way she was just like pulling that chair. Not actually, honestly, you know who was impressive watching pull that chair was Brad. They just wrapped the harness around him.
Yes.
And like an ox, he just like pulled in the opposite direction. And that was super impressive to see.
He was a defensive tackle. That right there is his primary drill for years. That said, so is like the high stepping, like running through the tire. That's a drill he probably had to do extremely often, and he got paid millions of dollars to do it, and he just got shown up by a saleswoman.
Yeah, and you know In fairness, he did a good job of it as well.
Oh yeah, like, he did.
But. Yeah, she beat him fair and square.
She's a saleswoman.
She's maybe 20 years. Yeah, she might. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. She might be 20 years younger than him, but yeah, she torched him.
I mean, her day job is physically less demanding than Cerie's.
Oh, yeah. I haven't thought of that. Well, unless she's lifting super heavy boxes. But yeah. Let's see. Oh, the actual reward itself I really enjoyed. First off, it was great watching Zeke and Brad actually bond over football. he did the same thing with, I don't remember the guy's name.
Oh yeah, Big Lawyer Douchebag.
Next season. Yeah. Well, whatever his name was, like they bonded over Oklahoma Sooners. Go Sooners. It was cool to see that, but also I just loved as soon as they got there, everyone's talking about, what's all the stuff we're going to eat? And folks are like, ooh, what should we eat first? Should we eat pork? Should we eat the beef? Oh, they have these skewers. What about this calamari? And then it's specifically cut to Aubrey, and she's just looking around and goes, an egg! Like, it was the coolest thing she'd ever seen. And it was like, oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, people point to that as being, people in the game pointed to that whole bonding between Brad and Zeke. Being really overt and out of nowhere, and like bonding with the enemy, like in front of everyone, as being a big reason why he had a target. That's bull. That's the excuse, right? Like, there's always, you always need a good cover. You can't just say I want to vote him out because I don't like his face anymore. You can do that with some people, but you also need it, like, to rope in the majority of the tribe. You need a quote unquote legitimate reason, and you could say. You could say, oh, well, Zeke and Brad are going to become like a power couple. Or something. You, 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 I don't know. I feel like you generally need that.
Actually, so I take back what I said earlier, because I had forgotten, at the time, I had forgotten about them bonding. I was saying, I don't know what set Andrea off. And that must have been what tripped her Spidey sense. That seeing Brad and Zeke bond that well together and get along that well made her feel threatened. It's like, wait, now he has a new person that he can replace me with. And he's already tried to replace me in the past. I don't like this situation. Danger sense, danger sense, danger sense. I'm going to move on him.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And not just that, though, too. Like, Zeke plays a really good social game, and you're at the point in the game where you have to think about the jury and who's going to be on the jury and how they view you.
Mm-hmm.
So Zeke getting in with Brad, then Brad can go and relay to the people that he was with that got voted out, tell Debbie, oh, hey, you know, that Zeke is a good guy. Yeah, Zeke, and then talk up Zeke. So you want to push them out before they can build that repertoire, before they can build that relationship too much.
Mm-hmm. And voting out Brad is only going to get you... Yeah, that's a good point. I should say that. So if Andrea had decided to split them up by voting out Brad, then Brad for sure would have voted for Zeke in Final Tribal Council, because
mm-hmm.
his last taste of Zeke felt good. You know what I mean? Good mouthfeel. His last taste of Andrea, bad mouthfeel. Spit that out. He got her out. Unless Brad is the kind of person, and again, since I haven't seen him, I don't know. I mean, unless he's the kind of person who's like, this is the person who organized getting me out. They get my vote. That was really good. He doesn't seem like that. Like, he doesn't seem like he would get mad and hold it against them.
Not like Debbie.
But I feel like... Yeah, like Debbie. Debbie. But I feel like he would decide to vote for Zeke if Andrea had voted him out. Now, this time... Now, she gets another couple of days to work him over and get his vote in the final tribal council, should she get that far.
Yeah.
Which, does she have an advantage? Does Andrea have an advantage?
No, Andrea's playing this by the seat of her pants. She doesn't have an advantage, she just has cojones.
I think she might be a little too exposed, especially considering how many advantages and idols and hidden advantages and blah-de-blah-de blues that are out there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she can run that minefield. If she can, and she can also make the case, hey, look at the minefield that I dodged. Everyone had advantages. I didn't have any. I had to get by on my own wits and winning at challenges. If she can get by with that, I think she's in a good position to win. And then, you know what? Hey, if she wins, I will gracefully tip my hat to you, sir, and to her, madam, and say you are one of the best who has ever played. But as things stand, I think she's very good, but I wouldn't say the best.
You know, and talking about the advantages, too, I think it's worth pointing out that for the most part, nobody has told anyone else about their advantages. Nobody else knows about Zeke having two idols. Nobody knows about Troy Zan's idols. Oh, Ty
having two.
Yeah. Nobody knows about Ty's two idols. Nobody knows about Troy Zan's idol, right?
There was a good scene in this one where it looked like they were both trying to, Ty and Troy Zan were both trying to feel each other out to see if either of them had idols, and they both blanked and no-sailed it. I love that. Troy Zan was like, well, you know, I mean, there could be idols out there, and Ty was just like, I don't know.
Well, and they were the ones that were on opposite beaches, so they want that intel, right? Like, if Troy Zan knows he's got his beaches, but what about the other beach? Does Ty have any word about maybe what's going on there? Like, yeah, but they're all doing a good job. And I don't think anybody knows about Sierra's either, right? Nobody knows about Sierra's once she gets down to the six. I think, and this episode, Sarah told somebody about her advantage.
Yes. Her steal advantage. And actually, I've really enjoyed the way that Sierra... God damn it. I really enjoyed the way that Sarah told Ceri about her idol, because she had misread Ceri. Ceri was feeling her out for let's take Zeke out. But Sarah thought Ceri was saying, I don't feel comfortable with him. You know, that sort of thing. I don't trust him. I don't, whatever. And so Sarah thought she was just calming a nervous ally, which I thought was really a smart play. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for her because she misread that situation. But she misread it in a very reasonable manner. It wasn't like she wildly misread things and just started assuming whatever. But yeah. Very good, very good.
Very, very good. The only last thing I want to talk about, kind of is a callback to the editing. I feel like I need to bring it up because when Zeke gets voted out, Michaela just kind of busts into tears.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, Michaela wears her emotions on her sleeve, sure, but that's a very big reaction in tribal in front of everyone. And there's, like, no lead up to that.
Yeah, well, there kind of was, actually. You see her during the tribal council. She has an unusually blank face, like thousand yards stare, looking off into space and talking about how, you know, sometime, I wish I could remember exactly what she said. Unfortunately, it was a while back. I should have written it down because it was pretty interesting. I could tell she was going to vote for Zeke because it was like she was justifying it to herself as she was saying it, like, you make decisions. Oh, you turn off your heart. That's what it was. She was talking about, you know, sometimes with this game, you have to turn off your heart, and it sucks because you know that these people, your friends. And then she comes back quickly to reality and says, but that's outside the game. And while you're here, you're trying to win. And it sounds, it sounds like she was justifying it to herself to sound like I'm talking down to her, because that's a thing that you really have to talk down. Or
you really got to talk down to somebody about that.
That's something you really got to... Yeah, no, that's... because, yeah, that is something that you have to convince yourself to do. That is big. Like you said, like she said later on, you know, imagine you only have two friends and you just have to backstab one of them right now. That fucking sucks. I mean,
it's more than that. Her quote, she posted on Twitter. She said, imagine you're frustrated, lonely, misunderstood, which she definitely is out there, and only have two friends in life. Then you stab one of them in the back. That's why I cried. That's what she said. And I mean, like her, I mean, you didn't include the first part, but I think it's really worth pointing out the frustrated, lonely, and misunderstood because multiple times in this game, she's been pointed out as being a problem around camp, a problem personality, which is not something we picked up on at all last season. So something going on out on that beach is painting her in a completely different way than how she was painted last season. And it's definitely affecting her game.
Shirin from Kaorong. That was the seat. Ha-ha! I'm finally remembering it. Shirin from Kaorong wrote an article for some site, I don't remember, about Michaela and how the editing has not helped her and how she... Okay, I read maybe a third of it. It was actually really well done. It's just that I was reading it on my phone and it was very long, and I was at work. So I don't have a complete picture of it. But approximately one third that I read actually was really interesting, because she was saying, like, there are a lot of racial overtones. Not the dog whistle is what she called it. There was a lot of dog whistling going on. People not saying, like, oh, I don't like her because she's black. But people saying, oh, you know, she's just emotional. Or, oh, she's a real handful around here. And using words that seem completely fine, but just kind of bring it out on you. And I actually, in light of that, I can see what I didn't necessarily get it when it happened. Like, some of these things that we're saying, like JT getting really mad about her using all of the sugar. Apparently there's a thing called Cuban coffee. I don't know what Cuban coffee is, but apparently Cuban coffee is just a tiny bit of coffee and a whole lot of sugar. So Michaela isn't some crazy weirdo for wanting that. That's an actual thing.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of, yeah.
Yeah, no, and I can see, because you talk about emotional and a handful around camp. That's Debbie. But people don't use those. They describe Debbie as kooky and weird. And I'm like, no.
Right.
She's fucking terrible. She's the goddamn worst.
There's a clear double standard between Michaela and Debbie.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, so yeah, and I can see why Michaela would be frustrated and lonely at this point, because really the only person giving her the time of day is Suri.
Mm-hmm. But that's a nice person to have on your side.
Playing Survivor. That's really great.
I'll tell you that right now. And Suri's playing really good too.
Yeah.
Very quietly just pulling everyone over to her side. Everyone mm-hmm. loves Suri, and nobody ever thinks about casting a vote for her.
Right, and you know, I really hope she can... I really respect the way Suri is playing this game. I really hope, though, that because it's game changers, the jury can appreciate the way she's playing it. I feel like the people on this jury are going to be like, what big move did you make? They're not going to judge her on the standard curve of, oh, I like you, I'm going to vote for you. You know, the way that it might work in a regular season.
What also, I'm worried about... Unfortunately, I'll go. Sorry.
No, finish it off.
No, you go. You finish.
So what I'm worried about is that she might be playing a really great regular game, but not necessarily a really great game-changer game, and that might, unfortunately, and fair or not, maybe it's fair, I don't know. Personally, I don't think it is. I feel like you should just treat this as a regular old game that just has veterans in it. But unfortunately, I don't think that's going to help her out, and I don't think she'll win even if she gets to the end. Although I would love for her to. I would cast a vote for her. I would cast 1,000 votes for her. But unfortunately, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, my biggest concern, and my biggest, not just for Suri, but my biggest, like, fear for the outcome of this season is related to the number of advantages and immunities that are out there. Like, there are now 9 players left, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4... 5 advantages out there right now?
Yeah. Like,
more than half of these people have something in their pocket. No, not more than half, because Ty has 2 of them. But, like, it's insane. So, the idea, like, Suri can play a magnificent game, and Andrea can play a magnificent game, and even Brad or Michaela can do great, or Aubrey can pull a big move. But at the end of the day, one of those people has to be collateral damage for an idol. One of those people has to be collateral damage for somebody else is saving their own ass. And fear is that there's going to be so much of saving your own ass that shifts the game entirely, that it's going to make the ending of this season a little unsatisfying, because Andrea or Suri are going to make this great move, but Ty is going to be like, I think I'm going to be voted out, so we're going to play my idol, and then it's 2 for Suri and she's gone. And granted, that's the way you play the game, right? Like, Suri needs to be on the side of an idol. And you need to know that Ty is good at finding idols, so get Ty on your side, or plan for the fact that Ty has an idol. So there's and ways to play around it that you should play around as a player of this game, but there's just so many right now that I'm really anxious.
And let's also not discount the fact that, you know, Ty is playing the game as well, like finding 2 idols, making alliances. Like, even in this episode, he felt he was in danger, and he had a game decision to make. Do I play an idol now or not? And he gambled, and, you know, luckily for him, actually, really luckily for him, he didn't go home. If he had gone home, he would have felt just like James. A little bit less so, because James, well, there's 3 tribal councils left, and you have 2 idols and you don't use one? Why?
Yeah.
This, you know, there was a little bit longer for him to go. But that's the thing. Ty has been playing this game since day one. He voted out his best friend in the game. So, like, that's my only real counterpoint to what you're saying. And not to say what you're saying is wrong. But the opposite that I would bring up is there's more ways to play the game than just... I had an idea, and then my dog ate it.
Were you going to say that there's more ways to play the game than just, no, I know exactly how you feel.
Even you lost it, too. Oh, no. And usually, like, by vamping like this a little bit, it comes back to me, but I don't. It's not coming back, so let's just move on.
There's more than just protecting yourself and saving your ass.
No, that wasn't the point I was going to make.
More than sitting on
and saving your house is a very important skill. Sandra won twice because of it.
Yeah.
Ooh, golly. Oh, well, that was gone. It wasn't that important. It's fine.
Yeah, no, and I do see what you're saying. Like, Ty also, I think what Ty's doing this season, I didn't expect this episode to go this long. So you got submitting a new friend. But I think what Ty is doing really well this season is building a case for himself. Like you mentioned, voting out his friend. And now he can say, think of all the times that my name was written down when I had two idols in my pocket. And I knew none of you motherfuckers could do it. Now, I know he won't say it like that because he's Ty. And he probably won't even think to say this because it's Ty when he gets to that moment in the Final Tribal, if he gets there. I mean, he's got two idols. I feel confident in saying he's going to be in the Final Tribal, but that could be hubris. Yeah. He can make a good case just by saying, look at how many I didn't play. And if he gets to Final Tribal with two in his pocket, and he just has to wear them around his neck when he says whatever the fuck he wants. Because at that point, like, my God, if you can get all the way to the end with two in your pocket and never play them and keep taking both home as souvenirs, yeah, you're phenomenal. You're set. I don't see how you don't get a vote for $1 million in that case. But that's ridiculous because you should play them. Ty will play them.
Yeah. Well, if you don't feel like you're in danger.
No, right, play them. Yeah. Let's go on.
Should we go on to fantasy?
Yeah, let's do it. We have one bet that Sarah will fuck up the use of her swing vote. I vote that she would. Nick and Brian voted that she wouldn't, and this is embarrassing because I lost a player, so now Sarah's on my team. But anyway, Brian started out the week on top. He has Ceree, Andrew, and Brad. He had 73 points last week. He gets one from Ceree for surviving tribal, five from Andrea, two for each challenge win, and one for surviving tribal, and three for Brad because of a challenge win and survival. So that adds 9 onto his 73 from last week, giving him 82. I was in second with 66. I get one from Michaela and one from Ty each because they just did nothing but live. And I got a straight up 0 from Zeke because he got voted out. So I had 2 points out of my 66, giving me 68. And Nick, you had 63 and you got 5, 1 each from Sierra and Troyzan for surviving tribal, and 3 from Aubrey because Aubrey won a challenge. She was on the reward tribe. The reward team.
Hell yeah.
So you're up to 68, and now you are no longer in last. You are tied with me for second. You and I are tied at 68.
Which is also last.
Okay. Tied for second. You're not clearly last. You're in the running now. You're in the cool runnings. But we are both way behind Brian. Hey, Brian's got 82 to our collective 68s.
That's fine. These people are all going soon.
Yeah, they are. Because we have people with idols and shit. So I lost Zeke this week, and there's only one player left in the pool, and that's Officer Sarah. So now my team is Michaela, Ty, and Officer Sarah. And there's no discussion about adds or drops, because who we got is who we got. We're on lock. Unless you want to trade somebody. But I feel really confident. Mm-hmm. I'm confident that Ceree is going to take Michaela until Michaela stabs her in the back too and wins a challenge or two.
Yeah, I was going to offer Aubrey, but you seem pretty comfortable with Michaela, and I don't feel comfortable enough with Sarah. Like, that playing in the middle thing works really well until it doesn't. Like, if she gets found out, then she's done. And all it takes is a little bit of crosstalk. So I think I feel more comfortable with Aubrey than Sarah. But I would be willing to trade you Aubrey for Michaela.
No.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
No. I mean, I drafted Michaela. Michaela's one of my favorite players.
Oh, yeah.
She's phenomenal to watch. And I think Michaela's story at Tribal will be that she overcame... Not prejudice per se, but overcame everybody casting aspersions on her as she played through.
All the side eye.
Yeah, all the side eye, and look where I am and you aren't. I feel like that's Michaela's final tribal. And I don't know if that wins for $1 million, but it's the kind of story you want to take with you because you think you have a better argument, but not also a goat.
It wins her the $1 million of my heart.
Right, like if Ty takes Michaela... Michaela makes a good enough argument, but not good enough to win. But Ty doesn't look like he brought along a goat to be a goat. It's not like Ty brought along, I don't know, Ceree or Aubrey. Although neither of them are goats, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get you. Don't worry. You don't have to defend Aubrey to me. the only other thing I was going to say is that we're down to 9. And I could make a good case for everyone except Troyzan winning. Aubrey is probably the hardest one to make a case for. She's never been in charge. She has, but she's also run, gone under the, flown under the radar, which again, though, in a season like this, may not get you the points that you need. But there's still time. Like, she's made moves in the past. I could see her making moves again. She's very analytical. So, yeah, you know, I could see her ending up ahead in this thing. Although, she has she has two chances, slim and none, and Slim is getting ready to leave town, so hopefully she can make a move soon and get ahead. But she's not out of it yet. Troizan is really the only one that I would say is out of it, because he hasn't... Yeah, he won that one immunity challenge. He hasn't done anything else.
He's got to make a real big, real flashy move with that idol to do anything with this season.
The real kiss of death I said last week was when he said, you know, you got to make it to six, and then you worry about all the rest. It's just like, oh, no, you're shooting yourself in the foot, my dude.
See, but that's the thing. That's the kind of thing you say when you have an idol in your pocket, right? Like, I don't have to worry about when we get six, because even if it is me, guess what? It's not me.
You're not wrong, but at the same time...
It's not a good thing to say, but I understand why he said it.
Right, correct. Oh, it's a true statement. Like, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, if I was up there, my attitude would be just make it to the next one. Just don't get voted out right now. But when you say that, especially with, you got to know your audience is the thing. And knowing the folks that he's playing with right now, I don't think they'd really appreciate that just make it to six and don't worry about anything else kind of attitude. Even though, again, that is the exact attitude that I would have.
And looking at the jury as it is right now, Troizan doesn't have a lot of votes. Not just in terms of friends made, but like Ozzy's going to want to vote for somebody who was basically himself. He's going to want to vote for somebody who's good in challenges and provides and plays the game hard the way he does. And Haley and Zeke are both going to look for mindful, active players. Haley's really swayed by good verbiage and good dialogue.
Yeah.
And Zeke is just looking for good gameplay. And Troy's got none of that anywhere. Troy's got an outside shot at maybe Debbie's vote, but even then I doubt it.
Yeah. I think at the moment, and this is, you know, I mean, there's still 9 people in the game, so it's kind of a wide open field. But if we had to figure it out, I would say Haley and Zeke would vote for Sierra. Possibly Andrea. Like, Zeke doesn't seem like he would hold a grudge against her.
No.
Debbie, who knows who she'd vote for? She's a real wild card. Yeah, that's for sure. Not Brad, even though she says it was all a ruse.
Yeah, it's not sure. A
ruse. And then Ozzy, I feel like Ozzy would for sure vote Andrea.
Yes, because won every challenge after the merge. She's won a challenge every episode after the merge. Yes.
Does he know that she won? Well, yeah, she know. He knows. I was going to ask, report.
Even if he doesn't know that, it's been 4 episodes and she's won immunity twice.
Well, oh really? Oh, yeah, I forgot she won it a couple
so she's shown up with that necklace half the time after the merge. So that gets a vote from Ozzy.
I was referring to reward challenges, and for sure he knows, because as soon as someone gets to Ponderosa, the first thing they do is recap everything. They would say, like, oh, yeah, she went on the reward challenge and she ate all the calamari and got super excited about eggs. You know, so.
Yeah.
So he knows.
Yeah. We good?
Yeah, we are. Oof. We are all wonderful. Yeah, we've been recording a while, but a lot of it was garbage or stuff that's going to be edited out, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah. It's amazing how much can get in when Brian's not here.
And you know, he's going to miss... Oh, it might be serendipity. So he is at NXT, WWE NXT in Phoenix right now, which is really rad. I wish I could go to that. Next week, he'll be at some concert, which might be for the best because it is a loved one's challenge week.
His favorite. Yeah, that works out.
Yeah, so it's all to the good.
Yep. Well, we don't have a sign-off yet, ready? Do we? No. Butts.
Goodbye forever.
Survivors
until
ready?
Until next week.
Yeah. I got nothing for you. Head back to camp. One of those. Pick one.
It took you guys this long to realize I wrote butts at the bottom.
No, I've always seen it there. I just like, all right. It's in there with go to hell, and they're going to be screwed without us. All that kind of shit.
Yeah, we're good. All right. Well, we will see everyone. See, we will talk at you through the speakers of your headphones while you're doing your laundry, vacuuming, driving your kids to work. Wait, to school, driving yourself to work.
Whatever. Gotta drive my daughter up at the mines.
Hey, the way this country's going. We will talk to you then later. Have a good week and be easy. That's another ending from another podcast.
Yeah, it's Code Switch.
Oh, yeah, you listen to Code Switch also?
Yeah.
I really like that.
Gene Demby also a woke white man.
Yeah, I know. Man.
We are both woke cis white males in a urban setting.
Today. And yeah, this is I'm going to get rid of all of this, so don't worry, whatever. But yeah, man, fucking today I was hot as balls all day just yelling and screaming because of the whole healthcare thing.
Yeah.
Fuck that noise, motherfucker. What goddamn asshole do you have to be like, you know, this thing's really gonna, it's gonna bring insurance to 32 million more people. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be fantastic. They're all gonna be great. We're opting out of it. But it's gonna be great for everyone else. It's gonna be wonderful. It's like, fuck you, dude. There's people out there right now, like, they're just not gonna be able to afford chemo. And then the other stuff that they've counted as pre-existing conditions. Like, you heard the stuff about sexual assault being a pre-existing condition, which, fuck that. But also, what's it? A C-section? So your first baby, you have a C-section. Okay, that's covered. Second baby, apparently if you have a C-section, you, future babies have to also be C-sections. I did not know that. Your second one will not be covered. So it's a de facto, it is a one-child policy, just like China had. Other things that are considered pre-existing conditions, and this is not a joke, considering adopting a child. What the fuck does that have to do with you medically?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got super ass mad recently. Also, I had that wonderful moment a couple days ago where Luke Cage retweeted me. I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. I saw that. That's cool.
Yeah. The hockey writer that I follow was talking about how he liked it, and he thought it wasn't fair that people penalized the show for killing off Cottonmouth. And I was just like, no, I love that they killed Cottonmouth, because what I wanted to say more, but you only have 140 characters, is I love the fact that real life, you make plans like, okay, we're going to take down Cottonmouth, blah, 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 all that's going to happen, and then he dies. Like, that is... Excuse me, that is some realistic storytelling right there. Just something crazy can happen, and then your target dies. And then the real villain of that season is the power vacuum that ensues. Because, alright, yeah, he was not a good person at all. But he kind of had a code, right? Like, he killed his lieutenant because his lieutenant broke the rules. So he only hit other people who were in the game. Like, Diamondback and these other folks, the Puerto Rican gangs, they didn't quite have the same code of conduct. Especially now that, like, now that there is no boss, and there's this huge vacuum that's left to fill. It reminded me in a lot of ways of The Wire. Like, did you ever watch The Wire?
Nope.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, I got really into it. Even, like, people are like, oh, these... Seasons 2 and 3 are garbage. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Season 2 is an elegy to a... Season 2 is an elegy to a fading American lifestyle. I loved it. And, like, the thing is, like, they take down the drug dealer, the big bad drug dealer. They take him down in, like, Season 1 or 2 or whatever. Season 1. And then that creates this huge power vacuum where now people who are just psycho... are able to thrive. Oh, it was such a great show. It was all, and then also I realized later on, it was all a metaphor for the Iraq War. Like, Stringer Bell and, what's his name? It's been a while. He's only in the first couple of seasons, so I forget his name. But anyway, Stringer Bell and the Barksdale, Avon Barksdale, they're Saddam Hussein. Like, they're bad assholes, but they are stable bad assholes. And so you take them out, and there's all kinds of chaos. And, yeah. Oh, I loved it. I loved it. Yes. Very worth watching. Go steal someone's HBO Go account and watch it.
I have Canons, but there's too much good TV.
This is one of the... Okay, I know it gets hyped up a lot as like, ooh, as Shelby likes to say, white people love The Bell. White people love The Wire. It's true. But it is, I feel like it lived up to the hype.
Okay.
All right, anyway, go do whatever you're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I got shit to do.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good night.
Hmm? Yeah, take care.
Bye.
How do I turn this off?